This is the Morning Conversation on News Radio 1240 KQEN.
The Morning Conversation, a presentation of Concrete Builders Supply, State Representative Cedric Caden. Good morning.
Good morning.
So let's check in with you. I wanted to start off getting your response to the governor's press conference yesterday, where she called it introducing a framework for reopening Oregon. What were your thoughts there?
Yeah, so for folks that are catching up on that, the Governor Brown had a press conference, which they called reopening, you know, the framework for reopening the economy in Oregon. And I listened to that, of course, and there was question and answers at the end. But that boiled down to 5 points that she was making. And keep in mind that they're saying these 5 points need to be achieved or defined further through, you know, lots of discussion as government does things. But those 5 points are declining growth rate in the active cases, meaning that we see, you know, less COVID cases coming in as we ramp up and continue to ramp up testing. She didn't say the specific number at the press conference, but they've been talking about being able to test somewhere between 10 and 15,000 cases per week. Currently, we're at about 7,000 is what they're reporting. So there's somewhere to 30 to 100% increase in that they're looking for. Sufficient personal protective equipment. This, of course, is your masks and your gloves and gowns and stuff. And we are getting some orders in, both privately purchased by the state of Oregon. The federal government's helping us with that. And we're supposed to have another purchase coming in or shipment coming in Friday. So I think we're starting to gain ground on personal protective equipment. One of the problems or concerns with personal protective equipment, of course, we lost our supply chain for that. But a lot more people are needing it now than would have before. So it's a two-sided thing. A lot less supply, a lot higher demand. Hospital surge capacity, they still have that as number three on the list. You know, I think the numbers are showing that the surge capacity or the capacity of the hospitals to handle the COVID cases are probably there. One strong example of that was that the Governor Brown sent back 140 ventilators to New York. And so, you know, that was about a week ago, a little over a week ago. Robust testing, tracing, and isolation. Isolation strategies, you know, I got some concern about what does that mean. On a follow-up conference call after the press conference, a lot of us legislators were saying, okay, what does that mean? And, you know, that does mean that it would be, you know, even more stringent protocol and enforcement, you know, for people as they get tested and put into isolation. So really want to see what that isolation means. And then the fifth strategy is just, you know, working on the hardest hit vulnerable populations, mostly seniors, nursing home, and then they're concentrating on the homeless. So those are the 5 points. I'll take a breath here, Kyle.
Well, what were your thoughts about the approach that the governor had?
So I made some phone calls before and after that to some of my colleagues on the other side of the aisle, and I say, okay, you know, I'm behind the scene. What does this mean? Because it sounded to me like there wasn't really any concrete, okay, we're going to start, you know, opening places that can accommodate appropriate social distancing. Been a strong supporter of social distancing during this. And, you know, we've talked about it a little bit. If you got a small restaurant or your hairdresser or, you know, even a coffee shop that the business has dropped off so much that you can't keep, you know, can't keep that going. If these are able to comply under social distancing with a lot of our other industries that are and continuing to remain open, I really was hoping to see something like, okay, we're going to, you know, if you can accommodate 10 clients or less and keep the 6-foot, 8-foot social distancing, we want you to apply to us, get that checked off, or, you know, meet these bullet points. So I was looking for something a little more specific that would actually get things moving. The answer that I got from my colleagues, you know, behind the scene was, yeah, we're, you know, internally talking about June 1st here to start opening things up. So that's a little concerning to me.
And one of the things, too, ahead of the press conference the day before, it sounded like there was going to be a discussion or more information about allowing the medical community in some form to begin resuming non-elective surgeries and procedures at some point.
Yeah, so that discussion has been going on. As you and I have talked about, I actually have reached out to my hospital that I work in. I haven't gotten an answer yet. I just reached out yesterday, and I know those folks get busy that are making those triage decisions. But there is a lot of backlog of medical need, and we're starting to see PPE ramped up. So I was hoping that the governor would say, you know, as soon as this PPE is adequate, we're going to reopen, you know, the healthcare side of it so people can get back to their healthcare needs on, you know, elective treatment. And she really didn't approach it that way. Her approach was, you got to meet all five of these before we start talking about that. So I'm really concerned about the backlog and the risk that we take with delaying healthcare.
Well, and for not only delaying healthcare, but for these hospital facilities that are clearly losing money, having to lay off people in many cases, a bit of a question there as to what lies ahead.
Yeah, and how do we get the hospital funding? The coordinated care organizations that take care of a lot of all of our Medicaid population, for the most part, there are some fee-for-service clients that are outside of that system still on the funding, but they just got an infusion of $100 million. Now, these were funds that were set aside that they would have gotten later, so they have additional funds to where they're supposed to go out and help with their communities. So that means that money is going to go to the hospital itself to help them to stay open. And I'm a little concerned about that. I'm really concerned about our rural hospitals being able to survive. The federal government says that there's going to be some funds there. But, you know, that was one of the key issues that we, from my caucus, were wanting the governor to, work on as far as how are we going to support these rural hospitals. And I honestly don't have something that I can say that we have a plan to make sure that they are going to be able to stay financially solvent at this time, and it's a big concern.
Earlier in the week, the Governor Brown, along with the governors of Washington and California, announced this tri-state PAC. What's your response to that idea?
So so they're wanting to work on the West Coast with California and Washington and Oregon. I think that the lines of communication between those states should and have been open. But, Roseburg is not Seattle. Roseburg is not L.A., right? And so not only are we now having this comparison of Portland metropolitan tri-county area and the rest of the state of Oregon, now we've moved that conversation to California, Washington. So I was actually disappointed that she was going to tie to that. I hope that gets reconsidered. We have had additional, conference call discussions where there's been a little clarity to that concept. And they say that they're still going to do regional openings when that comes, unless, the other people in the state move on and go to those regions that are opening. So I think it's a mistake to tie our reopening to those two other states.
Are you still hearing anything about the potential as reopening begins to not make it a statewide move, but that maybe the more rural areas where there's the lower incident of this virus could move forward sooner?
Yes, and that's what one of the things that our caucus is pushing for. Of course, you know that on my side of the aisle, the Republican side of the aisle, we represent a lot of rural areas in Oregon that, our lifestyle basically defines some of the social distancing that New York, even Portland, Seattle, L.A., that is, very foreign to them. I think last week I said, my wife and I looked at that and said, other than going to church, it's not a whole lot different than the way we live our life. And so we've really been pushing for the conversation that the rural states, the regional areas, the low incidences, the incidence based on science and facts that we have flattened the curve or our curve never accelerated, should be able to do that. So we're really pushing for regional solutions. Hopefully we'll get there, but that is one of the things that our leadership put a letter together yesterday through Christine Drazen, got that out yesterday. And that's part of, you know, dealing with the healthcare and regional solutions to get some of our rural Oregonian partners working again.
Just about out of time. Any kind of final thoughts about how the state's handling this situation?
Well, I'm disappointed that the state isn't addressing the funding, the budget funding. We're going to have a May forecast that is just, you know, way off the records. I think we're looking at billions of dollars of shortfalls. We're going to have a huge increase in Medicaid demand to cover health care. And as you're aware, a couple of years ago, and I was opposed to this, they funded Medicaid through taxing private health insurance. And I said on the House floor, this is not a recession-proof plan. Because if when you go into recession, your private insurance is going to drop, so the funding's going to drop, and the demand for the Medicaid is going to go up, and we're going to see a big budget crunch in there that the legislature and the governor is not even talking about yet.
All right, out of time for now. We'll check in again soon. State Representative Cedric Hayden, thanks for being on this morning.
Thank you, sir.
843 at News Radio 1240 KQEN.